friends waving at him, smiles on their faces. He could see Christy with her flowing red hair, and JB with his trademark fedora, although he was no longer wearing any glasses. For some reason, they looked somewhat older than he remembered. There was Doc. Dr. Theophilus Tanner, he'd remembered the old man blurting out earlier. What else, besides his own name, was hidden in that jumbled mind of his? He also saw people he didn't recognize. There was a black woman standing next to JB, her hair looking like several lengths of matted rope extending from her head, with the unmistakable look of intelligence in her eyes. Next to Christy and Doc stood two more strangers, one a young man with the whitest skin Ryan had ever seen, wearing a strange camouflage jacket and blinking his red eyes. A mutie? But it was the second person who Ryan focused on. It was a boy even younger than the white-skinned one, with long, dark, curly hair and facial features that matched his own, albeit without his scar and eye patch. They were all speaking to him.
Don't screw this one up, Sugar. You still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, he'd find us. Never find a day.
You heard him! Don't give up now! You're so close!
Who were these people? What was going on here? What was happening to him? Just then, he fell and slipped into the blackness. His mind told him that he had broken some teeth in the fall. He reached inside his mouth and found splintered fragments of teeth awash in blood, along with feathery pieces of crumpled blue plastic. Yet it seemed to him that this was a perfectly normal thing to find inside his mouth.
Ryan!
We need to unlock my mind. It's the only way you'll ever be at peace.
Get up, Ryan!
Get up!
Get up!
Get up, Dad!
And between the shouts of companions, present and future, Ryan found the energy to stagger back to his feet and continue making for the radar station. Already, the visions he'd been having were starting to fade in his mind as he edged closer to his destination, and soon, they weren't even a memory. Once, on a ridge parallel to the one where he staggered onward, Ryan thought he saw a pack of lean hunting wolves all facing him, their slavering jaws glittering in the moonlight. The leader was a huge creature, standing as high as a man's chest. Then the pack vanished behind some boulders. Because of his previous encounter, Ryan wasn't entirely certain they'd ever been there in the first place. They faded from his mind, just as had the visions of people he had never met. Dawn brought a spectacular sky of orange and yellow streaked with fiery crimson, but Ryan Carter scarcely noticed it. His snow specks were in the ice buggy. Without them, his sight was deteriorating. His eye felt full of grit, and everything seemed to be tinted red and was blurred with shadows. But he was finally closing in on the radar station. Behind him, to the left, he could make out the silhouette of the huge dam, dominating the plain and valleys beneath it. The night's cold had struck deep, and he kept stumbling. He lost one of his gloves on the descent from the ridge, and his left hand was bruised and swollen. His knees and ribs hurt, as did a cut along his jaw from the jagged edge of a black boulder, and of course, his mouth from where he had fallen. He entered a shallow dip, and for several minutes the radar station was out of sight. When he emerged, it was a scant quarter mile off across level ground. Ryan knew then that he was going to make it.
Ryan!
Ryan!
Over here!
Despite his dimmed vision, he suddenly made out a group of people hurrying towards him. They were shouting and waving, but he couldn't quite hear the words. Was this real, or another hallucination? Now, so close to safety, Ryan was able to let go. He slipped wearily to his knees. Finally, like an exhausted man entering deep water, he slid forward on his face, waiting for the others to come to him. A threatening, insistent noise seemed as if it were drilling into Ryan's brain. The sound became almost deafening.
What the fuck was that pounding noise?
What noise?
Clicking. Metal on stone?
The heels of my boots in the corridor. Couldn't have been that loud.
Sounded like hammers in my head. How long was I out this time?
She sat beside him on the battered metal bed, her long hair tied back with a strip of black ribbon.
I guess about an hour, lover. Altogether, though, you disappeared for about 7 hours. It was just after dawn when I heard you coming and we came out to carry you in. You looked like you were near the end, Ryan.
I thought so too, but I guess I found the strength to keep going. Where's JB?
Went to visit the ghost town by the dam. You remember him telling you?
Ryan sat up, feeling bone weary, but for the first time realizing that he was safe and well. They'd given him warm soup and a light brown alcoholic liquid that tasted of burned wood and blazed in his throat as he swallowed it.
I recall you telling me how you and JB fought your way clear, killed three or four of them Russians, then headed here and met up with Hen. The two buggies are both running okay now, right?
Yeah. I wanted to stay and look for you. JB said no.
He was right. In that sort of situation, I'd have left him.
Christy wasn't sure she entirely believed that, but she let the matter drop.
He's up with Oki and Doc. They radioed they'd found a town in a valley by the dam. They've got a missile up there.
Ryan swung his legs over the side of the bed, standing unsteadily, waving away the girl's helping hand.
No, I'm okay. Did you say missile? What kind?
JB said it was experimental. Reeled off a load of referenced letters and numbers that didn't mean anything to him.
Can we...
shoot it off? Yeah, there's a launcher. Oh, and JB says there's a dummy one as well, without any launch motor or explosive, just a shell.
Is he coming back here today?
No. Said you were to rest up. We've got food and heat and all. Lori's been sniffling with a cold. Do you think we should have left her at the redoubt, Ryan?
She'd have died all by herself. And she saved us from that bloody-minded old bastard Quint. She's not used to the outside, that's all.
You figure those killers are coming after us, Ryan?
That quake must have scattered their ponies. It'll take them a day or more to get together, but... yeah, I guess that yellow-eyed bastard was interested enough in us to come this way. Around about tomorrow noon, we could have us a real firefight. It'd be better if we were all together, so... let's go join the others.
The severe quakes that had opened the earth around the camp of the Narodniki, delaying them in their southerly push, had barely been felt by the pursuing militia, who were on the far side of a range of low hills. It had enabled them to close the gap on the guerrillas,